You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Oh, there he is. All right, before we get back to Joanne, jumping in on a Jan Lesher memo, remember we're doing the memorial for veteran Paul Marsh. The driving force behind the Marana Veteran Cemetery is at 12 noon tomorrow. And then this Saturday, me and Austin from the Goldwater Institute are going to do a presentation on the confusing multitude of ballot propositions that you have to vote on. So we're going to walk through every one of them Saturday at 8:30 in the morning at the Northwest Republicans at the Gaslight Theater.
How many? 70? 77?
I think it's 11 to 12. But we're going to go through it. And then tomorrow, Grant's going to come in early because he's really been on the wage and the tip credit propositions. He's going to come in early with me at 8:30 to talk about those.
Oh, you have to put Grant and I on the same day sometime.
I can do that.
Yeah.
We can do that. All right. Jan Lesher's memo.
Okay.
Who knew that was going to be such a hot tease going into the top of the hour?
Actually, let me tell you, I started researching this over the weekend. It came up as a result of a conversation. But it's also predicated upon the fact of, remember when Jan issued a memo not too long ago, and it was kind of like a teaser to the board. I call it a teaser to the Board of Supervisors, where she said, I don't think we should be accepting any more FEMA money.
Right.
Now, we knew that there was something wrong with that memo. Okay? We just didn't know what it was.
It definitely kicked up a few little sirens
right
out there.
And then she said, you know, we've got to be looking for a new fiscal agent. Okay? And again, we were like, wait a minute, something's fundamentally wrong here. Okay? Jan's waving this red flag to the supervisors and basically saying to Adelita, take my cue. You know, there's something coming down the pike, which obviously, you know, I'm going to step out on a little bit of a limb here. I mean, it's my belief. I can't support it at this point in time, but it's my belief. Jan knew something was up. Okay. And I think we can kind of see that a little bit now. You know, hindsight is a beautiful thing, especially when you have all the documents coming out and, you know, the news articles, et cetera, about Catholic Community Services and the contract, the laundering operation, et cetera. Okay. And so Jan was giving the supervisors a cue. Yeah. She's shooting bows and arrows saying, listen to me.
Yeah.
Okay. But they couldn't see beyond the end of their nose. And she was trying to give them a very poignant yet direct, listen to what I'm telling you. Okay. Do not go after any more FEMA money. You know, we're going to have, something's coming down the pike. We're going to have to, it's going to be exposed. And I saw it. I love it. Tucson Sentinel. Somebody over at the county is giving Dylan Smith all the news, okay? Because it's breaking in the Tucson Sentinel, which I like, okay?
Which story?
The one on Catholic Community Services laundry operation.
Remember, that was still broken from the New Republic. Before the Tucson Sentinel.
Freelance reporter, yeah.
Yes. However,
everyone in the local, all the people who say they know things, were totally, the person out of nowhere from the New Republic the story.
I'm not giving him credit. What I'm saying is there is somebody at the county who feeds the information to them in advance of it hitting the public.
Gotcha.
That is proven by virtue of the fact of me, on my own case, me getting an email at 6 o'clock at night from Dylan the day before the press release hit.
Gotcha.
Okay. So that can only come from the county.
Yep.
Okay. And it can only come from one department. Okay. All right. So if that department is responsible for doing that. Okay. Anyway, so what I'm getting at is this. I'm now taking a look at an August 29th, 2024 memo from Jan, which you should go in and pull this up as we're looking at this.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And it's titled, Award of Further FEMA SSP Funding for Temporary Sheltering Program. Okay. What we see. Remember, they were saying that we're going to apply for more FEMA money.
Who was the date of the memo?
August 29th.
Thank you.
Okay. Jan writes, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security notified Pima County on August the 28th. So this is a day before she wrote the memo, that Pima County had been allocated another $18,706,639 to reimburse costs incurred providing temporary shelter and travel assistance to, I love this, legally processed asylum seekers, LPAS, released into Santa Cruz, Cochise, and Pima counties by DHS. Now, think about this. We're getting $18.7 million for those releasees that were put into Santa Cruz, Cochise, and Pima counties, three southern counties, okay? And she's got an attachment to it. And then she says, at the board's direction in June, because this is when Jan presented the first memo, the county had applied for $33 million. Remember, Jan said, I do not recommend that you go after any more FEMA money. What did the board do? And I believe it was a 4-1 vote, okay? They went after it. Yeah, it always is. Okay. And she said, which would have likely provided enough funding for all of 2025, depending upon the number of, you know, illegals crossing the border. Changes in federal rules for granting asylum requests appear to have had an effect on border crossings, as the number of illegals released into county shelters has fallen to levels similar to late 2022, or roughly 150 a day. As you recall, we were experiencing releases in excess of 1,500 a day in December 2023. So now they've got $18.7 million coming in, okay, about half of what they were anticipating. But now we've, because of supposedly, right, supposedly, the recent actions taken on the border, we're now going from 1,500 a day to 150 a day. Okay, asylum seekers. And she says, at the current rate of releases, this additional funding, meaning the $18.7 million, will allow the county to continue the temporary sheltering program well into 2025.
So okay? We're still blowing through $5,000 a month or so.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Just, okay.
And this is we're good. $5,000 a month.
Yes. Now, here is the clincher, and this is the sentence that it's just, I'm going to show you how innocent this sentence is, and then I'm going to show you what I found out as I started going down the rabbit hole following this sentence.
Yep.
The county continues to search for another agency to assume the role of fiscal agent for Southern Arizona. So it seems like a very innocent statement, doesn't it?
Yep.
Until you start peeling away this onion.
All right, hold that thought. That's a great teaser as we go to break. Dr. DeFilippo, Christy, Simone, and you, 790-2040 is the phone number. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Looks like Ted's having former city manager Mike Ortega is on with him in the Jump in Tucson hour at 9:05 today. So you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. We're doing ZZ Top versus Lynyrd Skynyrd today. Waiting for the crime bus here in the city of Tucson. Little ZZ Top versus Lynyrd Skynyrd.
You know, I forgot how much I liked those guys until I started listening this morning. So, I can see your brother listening to them, dude.
So here we are. Again, Joanne's the master of this, but it's definitely not my first rodeo. So she goes, you may not know where I'm going with Nick. And I say one word off of the FEMA memo. She goes, don't say a word. I said, yeah. Okay. So start the rabbit hole, girl. What do we got?
Okay. So now remember, I'm going to repeat that sentence again. This is going to be the little, actually, you know, Kamala's recent Detroit verbiage that she said, you better thank your mama.
Okay. Thank a union.
Thank a union. Okay, you better thank a union. Okay. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to say, okay, hello. We're going to have Jan Lesher saying, you better thank me for putting this in my memo. Okay. All right. The sentence again.
Yes.
The county continues to search for another agency to assume the role of fiscal agent for Southern Arizona. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh,
embed sorry. That in your brain. Yes. The county continues to search for another agency to assume the role of fiscal agent for Southern Arizona. Now, that sentence is very innocent on its own right. Let us take a look at how that sentence can change the entire context, viability, lifespan, etc., of our entire community. Let's show you how that sentence can extend itself to bringing in outsiders that can absolutely change your community, and not for something that you want.
Correct. Okay?
So my question, I write in the marginalia. Okay, did you, I look down and I see, you'll see that she says, the state of Arizona, this is in the memo, which is the fiscal agent for Maricopa County, received $19.2 million. And I'm looking at that and I'm like, well, wait a minute. The state of Arizona is serving as the fiscal agent for Maricopa County? Why didn't Maricopa County file their own application? Why did the state do it? You follow me?
Right.
Ding, ding. That's number one.
No, that's true. I saw that. That
yeah.
Half the money was going to the state and half the money was going to Pima County.
Right. So, but then ask yourself this. Well, wait a minute. If the state was willing to apply for Maricopa County, did Pima County contact the state and say, will you apply to be what? Search for another agency to assume the role of fiscal agent? Because the state's willing to assume the role of fiscal agent for Maricopa County. So what? And that's what started me going down this rabbit hole. Do you see what I'm talking about? If the state's doing it for Maricopa, why is the state not doing it for Pima County? Did Pima County not ask the state? What's going on there? Because as you know, I my area of expertise is also dealing with federal money. And that was a red flag that I couldn't believe, because it just showed me what's going on here that we're not seeing.
Right.
Okay. Then I took a look at Regional Center for Border Health, which provides they call it LPAS. I'm just going to say illegal asylum assistance in Yuma County, received $7.5 million. Now, I happen to know the Regional Center for Border Health is actually another agency that took over a lot, let's say along that western corridor of Arizona.
Okay.
Okay, you know, La Paz, Yuma, et cetera. Okay. And so they almost serve like a REBA in a sense. They may be the REBA, I don't know. But they received $7.5 million. But that's going to the western half of the state there, Yuma yep. County. Okay, let's take a look at the next one. Borderlands Resource Initiative, which is based in Pima County. That was my first thing I wanted to check out. And is in early discussions with county staff about possibly aiding the county effort. Received $1.8 million from DHS. Okay, remember that sentence? The county continues to search for another agency to assume the role of fiscal agent for Southern Arizona. Let's connect that sentence to what I just read. Borderlands Resource Initiative, which is based in Pima County, which it is not, really. I'm going to show you on the Arizona Corporation Commission, and is in early discussions with county staff about possibly aiding the county effort. Uh-oh. We can see right now that Jan's setting the stage for the supervisors to do a contract or, you know, get Borderlands Resource Initiative to serve as the fiscal agent for Pima County for FEMA money, SSP funding, etc. And I said, watch them be assigned as the statutory agent. And my overall message is no, no, no. Do not thank your mama for this, okay? And we're going to now take a look at what does this mean?
So you were beating me to the punch. I was looking, trying to look up their 990s.
Oh, I read.
Also. Yeah, okay, so yeah, I'll let you keep going.
Okay. Oh, you're gonna love this.
And this Borderlands Resource Initiative, from what I can tell from their website, they're just a bunch of left-wing open border nutballs.
It's beyond that. Beyond. Because you got to track it back to Chicago.
Oh, my Lord.
And then you track it to D.C., and I'm going to show you how I tracked it.
Wow. Well, you better get going because I got to let you go by 7:40-something
so
today.
We've got a FEMA memo, all right? That's talking about, remember, they just, the FY 2024 SSP provided $340 million in federal awards. You just look at this and you go, my gosh, the amount of money, okay? And so you see that the state of Arizona got $19.2 million. Remember, they're the fiscal agent for Maricopa. Pima County got $18.7 million. Regional Center for Border Health, Yuma, got $7.5 million. And this Borderlands Resource Initiative in Pima County got $1.8 million. Now ask yourself, Borderlands Resource Initiative got $1.8 million for Pima County. And then you've got Pima County got $18.7 million for Pima County. You can see a stage being set here, all right, where they want to try and segue Pima County serving as the fiscal agent and giving that over to Borderlands Resource Initiative.
Right.
You see that right now. So I go in and I do a search. They said this is a Pima County corporation, right? Or located in Pima County. I do an Arizona Corporation Commission search, and I find that Protect AZ Health, Inc., which was a domestic nonprofit corporation, and it was established in 6-8-22 to deal with COVID funds.
Oh, beautiful.
Okay. It's now marked as inactive on the Corporation Commission. So I can see exactly what probably is going on. COVID funds went away, right? Now they got to find a new avenue of funding.
A new little honeypot.
So what they did is on February 15th of 2024, they did a renaming history. If you go into the Arizona Corporation Commission, and Protect AZ Health is now called Borderlands Resource Initiative. Okay. You see what happened?
It's like the corporate entity version of a Stryker bill.
Yeah.
Or a SPAC that they call in the stock market.
Yes. And when you click on Protect AZ Health in Arizona Corporation Commission, you get Borderlands Resource Initiative. You don't get Protect AZ Health.
This is going to get better. The co-founder and executive director lives in a place called Phoenix, Arizona, which is in Pima County.
Oh, yeah. Wait. It gets even better.
Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right. One more segment with Dr. D, and then we got to get going. So she's taking the rabbit hole. So yes. If you're just tuning in, Jan Lesher memo, right, talking about this new round of FEMA money that's coming in, $17 million to the state, $18 million to Pima County.
$19 million.
Or $19 to the state, sorry, $18 to Pima County. And then $7 million to Yuma, border something, health. And
Borderlands Resource Initiative.
Then we see one.
$8 million, and they say they're located in Pima County, which that's why it piqued my interest, and I could see. And Jan also says in her memo, we're in discussions with them. So you know what they're trying to do. They're trying to get Borderlands Resource Initiative to come forward and serve as the fiscal agent for Pima County. Now, that should be going before the Board of Supervisors.
I mean, for all the money these guys started to take in all that fat COVID money, but why don't we just get Paradigm Health to do it?
Well, yeah, but then I started to take a look at it, and I went, well, wait a minute. Who is this group, Borderlands Resource Initiative? When you go, and as we said, when you go into the Arizona Corporation Commission, you find that all of the officers and directors are all out of Scottsdale. Every single one of them, okay? You find that they created a company in 2022 called Protect AZ Health, which was just going after COVID money. Well, that COVID money's coming to an end, so what did they do? Then in February 15th, 2024, they go and they do a renaming history called Borderlands Resource Initiative. Oh, so that means they're now going to go after FEMA and SSP money. Okay, now, here's the best part, though. I take a look at their articles of incorporation.
Yes.
And I notice on Section 8, the incorporator is an attorney by the name of Andrew D. Morton from Handler Thayer LLP out of Chicago. And I remember that law firm name. I didn't know why, but I remember hearing it before. Yeah. And I thought, why would a Scottsdale group operating out of Phoenix, claiming they have a Pima County office, use a Chicago-based firm to do their incorporation, right? Okay, because their statutory agent is in Scottsdale. And then all of a sudden, this is what I find. When I do a search on Handler Thayer LLP, okay?
I love it.
This is the only thing that comes up on the law firm's website, which tells me, you can take what I'm just going to read it to you. You can take whatever you want out of it. The partners of Handler Thayer LLP would like to thank you for your loyalty and patronage to the firm over the years. We've decided that the best plan is to terminate Handler Thayer as of June 30, 2024, and to let each of the partners build and grow their practices on a platform that suits them best. Uh-oh, there's dissension in the law firm. Something. There's something going on in the law firm. Then it lists the partners split.
Right.
Okay. And among them, there's, let's say there's group one and there's group two. Now, we're dealing, I was looking at Andrew D. Morton, who did the incorporation for Borderlands Resource Initiative.
Gotcha.
Okay. Andrew's in the second group. I call it group two. And with several new partners. So it tells me that Tom Handler, the name out of Handler Thayer, Mark Anderson, and Andrew Martin, and several new partners. That means the formation of Handler LLP, where they will continue the practice of law along with all the rest of the firm's current team members who can be found at handler.law. I went, okay. So they split. Now, what I wanted to do then, I said, well, let me take a look at Andrew Morton and see what he does. Because
yeah.
I'm telling you, why would a Scottsdale-based people operating a nonprofit in Phoenix, claiming that they have an office in Pima County, why would you go to a law firm in Chicago to do your incorporation?
I was about to hit the...
Okay. Okay, and I find out that he's chair of the firm's sports and entertainment law group,
yep.
serving a client base of professional athletes and encompassing all aspects of high-profile philanthropy branding. Oh, that was kind of interesting. Okay. Given his deep understanding of various structures, he often recommends alternative solutions to establishing a fiscal sponsorship or donor-advised fund. Okay. And I take a look at his experience. Well, wait a minute. The guy is based in Washington, D.C. He's not out of Chicago. He's based in D.C. And he leads clients in the execution of public policy efforts. Okay, ranging from, he arranges witnesses' appearances before congressional committees, private meetings with key members of Congress. And I went, oh, wait a minute. This is the guy who incorporated, through his law firm, this nonprofit, Phoenix-based, with Scottsdale officers and directors who claim they now have an office in Pima County. And Pima County is looking to have them serve as the fiscal agent for Pima County.
I love that the director lady, Beth, in her bio, says one of her highlights of her life was of her amazing work was testifying before the U.S. Senate Committee on Homeland Security.
And probably, who do you think arranged that? Okay,
that's why when you read that, I go, well, that's a possibility, isn't it?
And then he is the founder of the Alliance to Stop Slavery and End Trafficking. Okay, and I thought, okay, this all fits together now. And what I'm saying to anybody in Pima County, if you see this come up on the Board of Supervisors, be aware of what's really going on.
So I love the fact that if we're going this way, right, they already got 1.8 mil and it says for Pima County.
Yeah.
On the FEMA memo.
Yes.
Right? They're obviously a Scottsdale company. They all live in Phoenix, Scottsdale.
Yes.
Right? And so we're going to be talking about if Jan really wants to get out of the illegal immigrant business.
Oh, we are blowing it up even more.
Right. And the idea that if this millions of dollars are coming in and going to a Scottsdale nonprofit, right? What happens to all their bros down here that want money? Right? In relation to the border stuff, right? There's several of them. Right? Where are they at on all of this? Right. Yeah. Who's the connection?
And remember, AMI is out of Reston, Virginia, I believe. Okay.
Oh, they are.
So what does it tell you?
And AMI, I don't think is a nonprofit. They're a company, aren't they?
Remember, I believe they were a for-profit, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
Okay, now, ask yourself. Let's look at both of these. We got an attorney who's D.C.-based. Okay, who does, quite frankly, anybody you want to meet in Congress, you just call. I look at him as a form of a lobbyist. Okay, that's what he is. All right.
Well, when he says that on his biography or what his services are, that sure sounds like it.
Yeah. And so you've got to ask yourself, why? Pima County, we're this little speck, okay? Little speck along the border. Why would we be allowing these D.C., Chicago-based entities, individuals coming into our community creeping under the door? That's what I call it, creeping under the door. So that all of a sudden, overnight, when you open your eyes, you have a full-fledged activist operation.
Well, you
going
need someone
on.
In D.C. other than Papa Grijalva to get you the money, Right.
That's right.
So, I mean, that part makes sense to me. The part that doesn't make sense to me is why would someone in Pima County bureaucracy do an end run around all of their lefty border buddies, right, to go give money to a bunch of Scottsdale, basically, COVID opportunists?
Because this is, remember, this is my, and I'm dealing strictly with fact. I had an individual very high up in Pima County sit in my office and tell me that this individual was a far left progressive Marxist. That's what this individual believed. And this individual is very instrumental in how funding is sought after in Pima County.
I do love this one. One of their board members, who's the attorney, is Chelsea Sachin. And when I saw, you want to check a box, graduated from UC Law San Francisco. I was like,
which you, well, I believe formerly, wasn't that Hastings?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, Dr. D, great job as always. As we like to say, we know there's more meat on this bone.
Yeah. I mean, going down this rabbit hole, this was, what it demonstrates to me overall is when you think you're just dealing with this little local issue, no. You're bringing in a major federal enterprise into a community under the auspices of a small $1.8 million award.
Everyone wants to get part of that DC honeypot, right?
Ask yourself, why yes, were two awards given to Pima County? Ask yourself, okay? Out of the entire list of the FEMA, and that FEMA list is attached to Jan's memo, go take a look at it. See if there's anyone else who got two awards to a county.
And if you add those numbers up, it's higher money went to Pima County than the entire state of Arizona.
Right. That's right.
So, great job as always.
Have a good one.
May the horse be with you.
Absolutely. Okay.
All right.
All right. Take care.
Dr. D, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 1030 The Voice, local news and talk. All right. Welcome back to Wake Up Tucson. You're on 1030 The Voice, local news and talk. Remember, tomorrow is our memorial for Korean War vet Paul Marsh, the driving force and basically the founder of the Marana Veterans Memorial Cemetery, 12 noon. Please join us tomorrow. In a moment, we're going to hear from our friend Stephen about the long-term risk of withdrawing your money from your retirement savings during a stock market turndown and a safer strategy to consider when your portfolio is down. Good morning to our good friend from RJP Planning, Stephen Levine. Stephen, what's up, sir?
Chris, good morning. How are you?
Not too bad. How was Labor Day weekend?
It was good. We just kind of relaxed with the family. I have two kids, two small boys, and we live on the La Paloma golf course. So we go out in the sunset, kind of look at the wildlife, and they learned a really good lesson about the circle of life last night.
Oh no!
We were out there, and there were four. I guess would you call them bobcat cubs or kittens? Real cute. They were all playing, and then I guess one of them found a rabbit.
Uh oh!
And they thought the rabbit was a volleyball, so they were flinging this rabbit around, and I didn't realize that they were like little Jeffrey Dahmers out there.
My lord. Look at
that. Yeah, the kids were like, what are they playing with? And yeah, just ripping this rabbit up. So
the Levine kids getting some hardcore life lessons on the golf course.
These animals are savages. They're like little serial killers playing torturing animals and playing with their food. So what about you? How was your Labor Day?
It was good. Did a little overnight in Phoenix on Friday, and then for a guy who usually goes to bed very early for what I do in the morning, I went to bed at 12:45 in the morning on Saturday, which is very late for me. So it took me about two days of whatever I did over Labor Day weekend to reestablish my sleep pattern and not be a total wreck. So, but as Frank Costanza once said, I'm back, baby.
I'm back, baby. So you're the guy I see at the restaurant at 4:45 eating before the senior citizens.
That's true. I'm before the early bird special people. That's me. I'm pre early bird special.
You're with the guys with the small kids. It's the families with the small kids, then the senior citizens, and then the night owls. So it's we're in that category.
All right, my friend. So when people retire, their money may need to last maybe 30 plus years, especially how long people are living nowadays. What happens when people are withdrawing money from their retirement during a stock market turndown, which some folks out there say might be coming soon?
Yeah, I mean, it's been saying for a long time, and it keeps not coming, but eventually it's going to. It's just the history.
Yeah.
So, you know, in RJP estate planning, we're in the business of protecting assets, whether that's using the tool of what we call living trust to protect your assets from probate when you pass away. We also are in the business of protecting assets while you're still alive, meaning your investments. So dealing with a lot of people that are either going through the process of retiring, or a lot of our clients are post-retirement, it's really important to make sure to safeguard your assets to make sure that they don't run out prior to your life. So, you know, new research from Morningstar predicts that nearly half of the people who retire at age 65 could run out of money in their lifetime. So it's based on demographics, healthcare costs, life expectancy. One of the problems is, for the past decade, people are getting used to these 12% stock market returns. So they're saying, I'm complacent in the stock market, I feel safe. The problem is once you reach 73 now, they keep bumping the age back for required minimum distribution. The government requires you to take 4%, about 4% a year out of your retirement. So what happens when you're taking out this required distribution and the market hits a recession? You're double dipping. So that's one of the biggest reasons people are going to start running out of money early. So you need to really make sure that you find ways that you can safeguard your principal. You can get guaranteed income for life. One of the biggest sell-offs in the last 2 years was a couple weeks ago. So it's a big sudden drop in the stock market. And if you're about to start retirement and start taking income from your retirement, I mean, that could be a killer for your portfolio. It's called a sequence of return risk. So yeah, imagine if you retire, had to withdraw money during an 18-month recession. That's really going to significantly impact the longevity of your money.
So if we go back 24 years, we know we had the dot-com bust of 2000, Great Recession of 08, and then COVID-19 pandemic downturn. So how many stock market downturns could be faced over a 30-year period, you think?
You know, it's hard to say, but just based on history, and we always say, you know, past performance isn't indicative of future, but bear markets, there's generally a decline of 20% more. That's sort of the definition of a bear market. 20% decline. They've occurred on average every 6 to 10 years. That means over a 30-year retirement period, retirees could expect 3 to 5 of these stock market declines during their retirement. So it's important to have different sources of retirement income. Make sure you have Social Security. Obviously, a lot of people don't have pensions anymore. It's great if you have a pension, but there's ways to turn and convert your retirement savings into guaranteed income to help supplement and support your other fixed income. Super important. So you need investment strategies to help offset inflation. Also, according to rising healthcare costs, tax, costs could go up. Make sure you have income that you can draw from during a stock market downturn.
So you have to partner that up, those right investment strategies with a good comprehensive estate plan. Can you explain to the Wake Up Tucson listeners what they need to protect their assets and their loved ones?
Yeah, so I mean, just stock market risk and running out of money is just half of your problem. The big kind of elephant in the room is probate. So a lot of people don't realize, and I say this every time I'm on the radio, Arizona is a low threshold probate state. What does that mean? It means that states are different. Arizona has a low ceiling for what can trigger probate. Arizona, if you have over $75,000 of personal assets, meaning money in the bank, investments, if you have a house that's worth more than $120,000, if you own a home, those are all probate triggering numbers. Probate means your money can go to the courts. The courts can freeze your assets, make your family go wait in line. Right now, there's like 20 plus thousand pending probate cases. People are waiting to get in front of a judge. Just because you have a will, that's great. That means when you do get in front of a judge, hopefully they go by the will. It still can take a long time, cost court fees, but you need what we call a living trust to completely avoid that probate process. So what we do is we meet with clients, we have a package, we get everything in place from putting your estate and assets and your house into a living will or a living trust, power of attorney documents. That means if you do become incapacitated but you're still alive, who's going to have the power to talk to the doctors, pay your bills, pay your taxes? All of these documents are in place to really patch up your estate for when you do pass away or if you become incapacitated, which is really, really, really important, especially in a state like Arizona, where you do not want your assets to be public record in probate, where vultures, creditors, the state can try to come in and seize everything and argue with your family and make their lives a living hell trying to get the assets passed over and inherited.
Well, again, I always appreciate your insight through these discussions, Stephen. And remember, at Wakey's, protect your retirement, protect your loved ones when you pass away. Call RJP at 520-441-4523 to schedule your free consultation with Stephen at RJP Estate Planning. Again, that's 520-441-4523, 441-4523. Well, sir, you know, watch out for the Bobcats out there, and keep up the good work as usual, my friend.
I appreciate it. I hope I'm not going to get in trouble. Nobody had any cameras when I was throwing hot dogs at him.
Well, this will may come back to haunt for you when you run for Congress one day. So, so all right, well, Stephen. I appreciate the talk and the knowledge as always, my friend. Have a good day.
All right, you too, Chris. Take care.
All right, you're on Wake Up Tucson. We got so much stuff to cover when we get into the next hour, some local stuff here. We got to finish off some discussion about the crime thing. I want to get to this discussion on businesses in Midtown push for safer streets and the dude at Dwight's Glass and Tint is quoted, and he has some good quotes. And when we talk about, we'll talk about what he gets for police response when he calls. We'll talk about that. What else do we got here today? Teachers unionize at BASIS. Renee Romo is now saying that now inflation is beginning to slow nationally. Reminds me of the Seinfeld episode where Kramer said he wasn't going to talk anymore, and then he keeps violating it. And then he says, but right now, I'm going to stop talking right now, Jerry, right now. All right, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Tomorrow, Presidio Museum, Shelley Kice is back on the show. And then Grant Kruger is going to come in a half hour early and talk about the two propositions, or how many propositions there are in relation to wages and tip credits and all those things he's focused on laser-like. Wake up.